This episode of Taste Masters is brought to you by Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop. Our dear friend and honorary taste master, Melissa Diaz, is the creator and bake tender of these kick-ass off-the-wall treats. What makes Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop cupcakes unique is Diaz infuses them with local craft beer and spirits, creating these like weird, insanely delicious cupcakes that are taking Utah by storm. But hey, I'm just a taste master. What do I know? Go to www.svbakeshop.com and order some to find out what Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop is all about. Again, that's www.svbakeshop.com. You can also find Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop or Diaz on all social media platforms. Go ahead, get your local craft beer and spirit-infused cupcakes today. I promise you will not regret it. Until the next cupcakes. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. All right, guys, fun episode. I am here at Hopkins Brewing. We're in the brew house with some awesome people. I have a co-host and one of our sponsors, local badass Chad Hopkins. Chad, welcome to the show, brother.
Well, thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for offering your location again, and thanks for always sure, supporting me, dude. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's fun to have you here.
And I have a guest for you. I have a great surprise for you. So I have the boys of Eight Settlers Distillery.
Awesome.
Dylan and Jason. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having us.
Dude, welcome.
Appreciate it.
On the Saturday, beautiful Saturday, huh?
Hell yeah, man. Yeah.
But you guys... learned about you. Dylan, I met you a couple weeks ago. We have a local friend, Jeremy, over out of Grid City, introduced us, and I think we broke out immediately.
Yeah, I stopped in for my after-work beer, as I do once or two times a week, and sitting down having my beer, and Jeremy calls me over. He's like, hey, man, you got to get up, come talk to this guy. And, you know, sure as hell, here I am sitting here doing a podcast with you.
Yeah, like, meet this curly head fuck, and that was me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we broke out and found out that you... I heard about this distillery that was in the mouth of Big Cottonwood Canyon, correct?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I heard about one next to the Porcupine Grill. I'm like, okay, cool. It's a distillery I didn't know about. And then I found out it's your guys' place.
Yep.
And so tell us about Eight Settlers Distillery.
So we got going in December of 2020. No, 2000. Yeah, 2020.
So December.
Yeah, December.
Okay.
Yeah, we opened up. And Radu and Kacha, the two owners, were trying to do this project for like the last 20 years or so, and they finally had enough money to get it all together. He sourced me from High West, and I kind of sourced Jason from his lab job. I previously worked with Jason at High West, and during the construction, during the build, Jason texted me a picture of the distillery, and he was like, hey man, is this your spot? Is this what you're doing right now? I'm like, hell yeah, man, do you want a job? Kind of jokingly, and Jason's like, yeah, actually, can I come work with you? And like 2 days later, Jason came in.
Oh, hell yeah.
He gave me that.
Just like
yeah,
that.
You gave me
it was
a couple
like
days.
Easiest interview ever, right? Yeah. Job application.
It was, yeah. Like, yeah, half joking.
It was. Yeah, I was like, yeah, you want a job? I kind of need some help right now.
I was like, yeah, I'll come talk to you.
Yeah,
let's see. Yeah,
why not?
It ended up working out great. Yeah, man, we've been working hard, getting it going. We're only about 5 months old, almost 6 months old. We got four products out, so we've been working pretty hard to get it out.
Yeah.
And doing our thing.
Dude, I'm excited. I'm super excited. Chad, I'm pumped, dude.
Me too, man.
These look beautiful. Your labels are gorgeous, by the way, gentlemen.
You like them? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys create that or did someone else?
Someone else created them. A lot of the stuff was put in place before I came on board and before Jason came on board. Like I said, Radu and Kacha have had this plan for a long time, so they had some things in place before I came on. So these labels were created before us. I had a little bit of implementation on it, but...
The gin's the newest one, and we had a little more... input in the gin label for sure.
So has this been released yet, the gin?
The gin's been released.
The Green Ditch
about a
gin?
Week or so, 2 weeks now?
Oh, nice.
About 2 weeks.
Hell yeah.
All
right.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited. So I say, I'm going to ask one question to you, Dylan, real quick.
Yep.
And then I say we open whatever you want to open first. It's not going to wreck our palate. I think the vodka probably won't wreck our palate the worst. But who's Dylan? Who are you? Where you
Me?
Come from?
Why? So I grew up in Manchester, New Hampshire. I've been in Utah for about 10 years now. I had some family move out to Utah about a year or so before I did. I've been here since December 2013. I kind of lingered in New Hampshire for a little while longer, and I said, screw it, man. I'm going to move to Utah. I had come out every year to come visit them, so I might as well move out. And it just so happened that my parents' next door neighbor, where I was living, they worked at High West. His name's Harley Norwood, and a guy, David Hart. They both worked at the bottling facility in West Valley for High West. So I said, okay, you know, I'm looking for a job. I might as well go check it out. I worked on the bottling line for like 3 weeks straight, and we were doing, I mean, hand washing bottles. I was doing like 3,000 a day all by hand.
Damn.
Oh yeah, I just threw some headphones in and just went to work.
Oh, damn.
And then I finally had the opportunity to go on the bottling line and just, you know, start putting labels on and filling bottles, and did that for about a month. I think I did the whole bottle washing, bottling deal for about a month, and then I got the opportunity to get on their blending team. And I obviously said yes. I mean, kind of, I wanted to be brewing beer in spirits my whole life. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad's incentive to get another beer was, hey, Dill, go get me another beer. You can have a sip on the way back.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Cool, dad.
Yeah. And I had no, you know, obviously I had no idea, but I remember being, you know, 11, 12 years old and having that sip of beer on the way back, and I loved it. And it wasn't like the intoxication factor. It was the taste. I love the taste of beer. So I ended up getting the next best thing, which was making spirits. And I immediately fell in love with it once I got on that blending team. I did that for about 4.5 years. Made a lateral move to distilling, and I distilled at High West for 2.5, 3 years, both at the Park City location and at the production facility. Jason actually trained me how to use the Arnold Holstein still in Park City. So Jason was a distiller at High West before I was. He got hired on as a distiller originally. I had been there for far longer than him, but I had no idea what I was doing on a distillation standpoint. Obviously, I was, you know, blending and bottling. So he really showed me a lot of what I know today. And that's why I was stoked to have him come back on my team at 8 Settlers.
It's like a bromance kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Cool team.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned pretty much everything I know. Not only my own research, but working on High West and seeing that company grow through an acquisition and, you know, moving out of a small warehouse in West Valley to what High West is today.
Hell yeah. So for those who don't know, what's blending?
Blending? So yeah. Blending is taking two, whether they're very similar whiskeys or two completely different whiskeys, and blending them together at different ratios to get a certain flavor profile. So you could have a flavor profile in mind of what you want your whiskey to taste like. So you'd get a bunch of whiskeys that you think would do well together, whether it's a spicier whiskey, a sweeter whiskey, an herbal whiskey, and kind of blending that in certain percentages to make that end game, that whiskey that you'd like. So it's kind of difficult because you could be 0.5% off of your ratio and it would taste different. It's unbelievable. If you were to do just like 1% more of this type of whiskey, it would change the flavor greatly.
Especially at bulk volume, you know, you're doing 5,000-10,000 batches.
Yeah.
You know, 1% off is, you know, a couple hundred gallons.
That's not fun at all. Damn.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I would say blending is one of the most difficult things you can do in a distillery. I mean, it's keeping up blend maintenance. You're not always going to have this type of whiskey that you have today. Yeah. Your flavors are going to change.
Yeah, with the age, you know, you blend a whiskey in January and then August, you blend the same whiskey, it's 6 months older. And so it's going to change
a little bit. You have to alter your ratio depending on, you know, what that product is, especially when you're bottling it and selling it on a big scale. Your cult followers, your customers are going to expect, you know, your whiskey to taste the same every time, whether the same whiskey's in there or not.
Yeah.
They're looking for that flavor profile.
Right, because they fell in love with it that time, so gotcha.
That's right. Wow. Some people like flavor shift. You know, it's kind of fun to, you know, play around with batch one, batch two, batch three, but if you have your core products, you'd like to keep it within that that range of flavors.
This is a nice fine line you guys have to walk, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's
consistency
tough,
is so important to a customer.
Totally.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Damn, especially if you guys are going to upscale this, make more and more, you got to be like, even that percentage becomes hundreds and hundreds of thousands of gallons at a time.
I mean, 1% exactly. of your batch could be 50 gallons. It could be 200 gallons. Damn. It depends on your batch size.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep that in mind.
Woo. Yeah. I love it. All right, so I say we go into one of the first. You have four of them in front of us. So you have this Butler Vodka.
Yeah.
So tell us about the Butler Vodka.
So Butler Vodka is kind of the first vodka I've ever made on a production scale, for sure. Radu, the owner, is from Romania. He loves his vodka, and that was one of the things that he really wanted me to make starting off was, you know, Dylan, I want a good vodka. I want to make a good vodka. We have a pot still. It's a hybrid still. It's a pot plus two columns. It's very difficult to make a vodka off of that kind of still. Usually they're massive column stills. Unfortunately, we don't have the roof space or the massive column still to produce a large amount of vodka. So it's very difficult for us. A lot of people think that vodka is very easy to make, but it's probably our toughest product to make.
Damn.
I mean, we're putting in 6, 7, 8 mashes to produce one batch, whereas with a whiskey, you can do one mash and get your one batch of whiskey out.
Love that.
Yeah, you guys hear that?
Yeah, awesome.
So this is, you know, it's got a little bit of flavor in it. It's not like, it yeah, doesn't taste some. Like you're going to get a flu
I'll
shot.
Do a little bit, actually, yeah. This is our new batch. Yeah.
Your eyes got bright.
Yeah, this is batch three. We just bottled. We're still actually bottling it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's delicious. It's, I mean, I'm a little bit biased, but I'm also never done working on it. It's going to get better and better as we go. So hopefully you guys enjoy it.
I like that nose.
Yeah, it's softer. It's a little creamy. It's got some good stuff going on.
Swedish.
It doesn't smell like you're getting a flu shot, which is kind of what I was going for. That's super medicinal.
Yeah, I really love flu shots, though.
Yeah, I do. I know everyone does, right? But yeah, man, it's been fun. It's been fun doing it. It's a pain, but that's what we do. That's why we love doing it.
Dude, that's hella smooth. That's really easy.
Yeah, that was the plan. We kind of wanted a, you know, cranberry vodka, a vodka soda kind of vodka, you know?
Yeah. That's
which
good.
Is like
that's
very, very drinkable, flavor, very approachable. Yeah. So
a sip in vodka, but you can also use it for cocktails, you know?
Mm-hmm. Damn. It's kind not of bad. Not just because you guys are here. It's actually really tasty.
This is unique. Like, yeah, it's got some creaminess, some minerality to it on the back end. I mean, it's, you can do a lot with this type of vodka. So I'm really happy with how it turned out. I will say, man, I was super nervous trying
to. Yeah, but you're liking this progress, batch three. So was one and two okay or great? Is this the best one so far?
One was a little rough. Two was great. Mm-hmm. And three is better than two. We're just going to get better and better.
Better and better. I love that, dude.
We tweak it as we go. On our distillation end, our mashes are 80% corn, 20% malted barley. Corn's a pretty neutral grain. I mean, in general, whether it's on a fermentation side or a distilling side, it doesn't implement so much flavor. Then the malted barley kind of gives it that nice
malted
round.
Barley, cool.
Yeah, that's round flavor. Cool. Just to add some fun to it. I mean, I didn't want to do a medicinal vodka.
Yeah,
not your average vodka. So
you're making it so you'd be able to drink it. You want to drink your own product as well?
Yeah,
that's
man.
What you want? I like this. Yeah, exactly. So when I think of what your palate is like, this is what Dylan would drink. I like that. Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah, gentlemen. God damn, what do you think, Chad?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we want some of this for here.
There you go. The
bar. Yeah, absolutely.
Get some Eight Settlers here at the old Hopkins Brewing and use the code TASTEMASTERS to save 10% off your meal. So, Jason, question for you.
Yeah.
Who the hell are you? Who are you? Who's Jason? Tell me a story.
Just some guy, man.
Tell me your story, dude. Where are you from?
So, I grew up in Michigan. Moved out here. Went to college, went to Michigan State, chemistry major, got a minor in beverage science and technology, actually. And it was just a bunch of wine making courses and some fermentation courses, you know, a food science course or two. But and then I got into distilling there the last year and a half of college because one of the professors, a chemical engineering professor, owned a distillery there. And in the class, they needed help bartending and started bartending, and then I just kind of kept pestering him about when he can let me in the back.
And how long did that take?
Me in the back. Not long, 3-4 months. He called me. I was actually back home for the summer, and he called me like, hey, can you come in tomorrow to work?
No
and
way.
I'm like, I guess, you know. And that place is called Red Cedar Spirits in Lansing, Michigan. And it was great to learn on. Everything is very rudimentary. There's was one mobile pump that moved around with three, you know, 30-foot hoses and everything, dried hoses around, did everything. But we had a kick-ass vodka column. And so that's how I actually know how to make vodka. This was his first run, but I used to do it in Michigan quite a bit. We had an awesome vodka column. It had, like, I want to say 29 trays on the column. So it was, like, a very good vodka column. You don't find that around too much. But, yeah, so then graduated college and moved out here 2016 and jumped right into High West and started distilling there.
Nice. Like distilling right off the bat?
Yeah, just right into distilling. So, because I had already been distilling for a little over a year, year and a half in Michigan during school. And so, just snuck my way in.
Nice.
And, High West, dude. How's your experience there?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. It was a good change of pace. They're much more established. You know, the systems were better in the new place out in Wanchip was a kick-ass production facility, you know. And so in Michigan, we're doing a lot of small batch, like very good, but definitely like a craft style. And then to go to High West, like a big industry manufacturer, it's definitely a change of pace. But still learned a lot. And I mean, the connection that, you know, all my friends I met there, I'm still friends with, you know.
Yeah, so yeah. That's, it's like, I mean, a brotherhood, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, just
dude, with, like, most Dylan of us are saying, all friends still. I mean, yeah, to this day.
It was a kick-ass environment to come out to, honestly. And, like, I didn't know a soul when I moved out here to Utah. And so, yeah, everybody just was real welcoming there and everything. It was awesome.
We were talking to Kelsey. I don't know if you knew Kelsey up there.
Yeah.
She worked here for a little bit before she moved to the next distillery. So
yeah,
it's just kind of like a small community.
I still talk to Kelsey to this day, and we all still talk, you know. We all still hang out when we can. Mm-hmm. That's what I loved about this community is we're so tight-knit.
Oh, yeah.
That's dope. Definitely.
But what a place to come from Michigan, then you go to, like, Wanship, which is, like, one of the prettiest places in Utah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad place, and you're distilling. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's
pretty
awesome.
It's a cool, like, introduction to Utah. Like, that's a place that I'm not familiar with, but then, ta-da!
Well, that, too, outside of Utah, like, people don't know. They think it's all just Mormons out here, you know? And so coming out here and to make booze. Like, yeah. I came out there like, whoa, like, can you drink alcohol out there? I'm like, yeah. Actually, like, yeah.
That's funny.
There's High West on the shelf right there. That's where I'm going. They're like, oh, no shit.
Wow. So, that's really cool. That's really cool. But what got both of you into this, like, why distilling, though? Like, Jason, I guess when I say this, why distilling? I know you came up
It just kind of happened, honestly.
Yeah.
I it wasn't a, you know, like something to, I don't know. It came real easy. I was in college and I had to stay an extra semester to finish up just some credits and stuff. And my advisor was just like, well, you know, why don't you get this minor and take a couple of, you know, fun, like, beer making courses and stuff and just stay a full year. I was like, yeah, why not? And then it happened. Yeah, from there, I got into the distillery and all that.
That's really cool.
So it just kind of happened, honestly.
Just kind of happened organically for both of you, it sounds like.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I just kind of fell into place. Like I said, I wanted to brew beer my whole life, and now I get the next best thing. I brew a very, I don't know, it's a distiller's beer. It's not your standard beer you're going to drink, but then we get to distill it. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. We just both kind of fell into it and ran with it.
You guys have this brotherhood. It was, like, probably cool to come to work to.
Oh, yeah.
Well, really, and that's cool. It, too, is, like, I mean, the job is, like, really cool and stuff, but it's the culture, the environment, you know? That's what brought me back into it, like, because when we worked at High West together, it was, like you're saying, it was so cool. Like, everybody was so tight-knit. We were all friends with each other. We all hung out after work and everything. And then, you know, everybody went off and do their own thing, but we all keep in touch. And then, same thing, when reach out to him, and it's just him, you know? And I was like, you know, it's, for me, it's an opportunity to build that culture again, you know, at a new place. Like, how that felt when I came to High West. You know, it's a chance to recreate that. And he was there, too. He knows exactly how it is. So
that's really cool, guys. Holy shit. Man, can I come work for you guys? Well, like, that's really cool. So then at this table, you have three other products. Which one are you most proud of, I guess?
The gin, honestly, it's equally as fun as it is a pain in the ass.
You're gonna tell them the story,
the Green Ditch Gin, week old. Hell
so,
yeah.
And I'm not really a big gin fan, and I mean, when we brought it out to, you know, our bar and showed to the staff, like, here's our gin, like, pretty much probably 10 people said the same thing, like, I don't really drink gin, but this is good, you know. And that's, like, my perspective on it. Dylan loves gin, but I do not, and so I wanted to, again, like our vodka, like a very drinkable gin, not super juniper heavy, but still full body, full flavor, but not like the floral craft gin, you know, kind of thing. Like, I wanted very reproducible and kind of the same thing, very versatile in, you know, cocktails, straight gin and tonics, whatever.
So
you wanted
you're
to
going
do
for that all around, mm-hmm, every time.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to produce a gin, in my opinion, on you know, looking at selling it to bars and other restaurants, you have to make a gin that's not only good in a dirty martini, but it's also good in, like, a citrusy cocktail, like a gimlet. I've had some gins that are amazing in a gimlet, but you would never do a dirty martini with it. It's just too citrusy. So we wanted to make an all-around gin that you could use in any cocktail. Nothing that sticks out way, way too much. I mean, we're going to produce other gins in the future. We'll do some small batch gins with some crazy botanicals, but I wanted just, like, your standard, regular, old-fashioned gin. And the funny story behind how we do this gin is we don't really have a pilot still. And for everyone who doesn't know what a pilot still is, it's just a small 25-liter, usually 5-gallon still that you can run test batches on. A lot of brewers do this. I'm sure Chad knows that. You do a lot of test runs. we don't have that option. We were supposed to get a pilot still. It went from Germany, from Arnold Holstein, got sent to somewhere in Asia. We ended up not getting it. So I consulted a lot of my buddies in the industry, and I read a lot of forums online, did a lot of research, and we went full send on this first batch. I mean, we did a 900, our still is 900 gallons, 3,500 liter. So we just... Yeah, man, we said fuck it, and we went full send in the pot. We did the maceration the night before. We don't do vapor distillations or anything. It's all maceration. I think we did like a 17-hour...
First one was 17 hours, second one was 14 hours.
And we were playing with we couldn't really play with maceration proofs or times. We just did... We gathered all the info that we had and all the knowledge that we had, and we came out with this gin. It was kind of a one-time deal, so... We were crossing our fingers, and Jason I can already tell the look on my face that morning. I don't even think I slept that night when it was sitting in the pot, and we macerate in the still. I was freaking out, man, because I'm like, this is it. This is like whatever comes out of this still, man, we're going to bottle, and we're going to have to sell it.
Damn.
Yeah.
It could be dog shit. It could be the best thing ever.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't have the option of running test batches, so... I did a bunch of research. I put this recipe together. Jason calmed me down throughout the whole process and said it's going to be fine. Ended up being pretty good. So we distilled our second batch of gin a couple days ago. We're getting better and better and better at it. I mean, we're learning a lot as we go. So that's kind of our thing. We're just going to go full send. The same thing with the vodka. I mean, we just went full send on it.
Just let's go.
Yeah.
Send it. 100%.
Yeah. Yep.
That's funny because you mentioned like you're in panic mode a little bit, and Jason's over here and be like, it's all good. Nothing's fucked. We're fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, man.
That's how I am the brewer. Like, Derek, I'll be like, oh, I fucking did this. He's like, chill. We're good. Nothing's fucked. We're good. I think you need that. You need that. Sort of like, hey, guys, it's okay. Okay,
he's like, hey, boss, I don't know why you're worried about this. Don't worry about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm worried about it, man.
I got it, though, because you're so passionate about it.
Yeah, naturally, I'm going to be.
I got you. I'm on that same level, so don't feel it. I feel you. You text me, you'd be like, bro, I'm freaking out. Nothing's fucked, chill.
Well, there's everything's in the pot, and you turn the steam on, then you got an hour till anything comes over, and you're just sitting there watching.
And that's what I was pacing.
Until you see him just pacing back and forth. Yeah.
It's like when you're on the phone, just a pacing.
Yeah, it's like, man, Jason, I'm going for a walk or something.
I'm going to turn the steam down a little bit. I think we're coming over too heavy. He's like, no, you're fine. Leave it alone. Should I increase partial water? No, it's fine. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Let's try it out, Chad.
Yeah, give it a try, man.
I'm excited.
This is the first gin you guys have ever done, right?
This is the first gin I've ever done on a production level.
I've done some in Michigan. We did it a little different there. We did it like it was almost like blending, basically. So we had a it wasn't quite a pilot still. It's like 100 gallon still, and we would distill like a juniper fraction, and then like a coriander fraction. I'm good, thank you. But yeah, so we would distill all these different fractions, basically any botanical you wanted, and then later we would blend, and that's how we kept our ratios and kept our gin consistent, is it was all by ratios.
Gotcha.
So I did a little bit before.
Yeah, that is something a lot of people do. They'll distill on a smaller still each botanical separately, and then they blend these together.
You want to smell it, though.
It smells great.
I did not want to do that. I wanted to macerate all of them together just for time. I mean, that, and again, we have a 900 gallon still. That would mean the amount of volume and alcohol we would need. I mean, we have 7 botanicals in this. We would need to do 7 distillations with the same amount of volume. And don't get me wrong, it would extend our yield at the end, but I'm like, let's just macerate the whole thing. And we did it, and it ended up being pretty good. For our first gin.
And the nose is fantastic. I love that.
That's good.
It's nothing. There's no botanical that like sticks out super crazy. It's not super junipery. It's not super citrusy. And I was pretty stoked on the balance.
There was someone smelling it. It was like, I want this as like a perfume. Smelling it. Yeah, didn't even taste it.
And I don't know if you guys agree, but this gin could be used in multiple cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so versatile. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with having a really citrusy gin, or a really junipery gin. They are delicious, but you're limited to what you can make for cocktails.
Yeah, you can do this in a dirty martini for sure.
Mm-hmm. Instead of having like 60 gins for like 60 different cocktails, let's make one gin to rule them all.
That's a great one.
Let's make this gin to be so versatile that you can.
That's the name of our next gin for sure.
Yeah,
one gin
to rule
them all. I'm gonna try
let's
this
make this
in
one
a
gin that you gin could do so much with.
Yeah, please do.
We make our own tonic water in house that we have on tap, nice. And so. I definitely want to try one of these.
You guys,
like,
you guys should come hang out here for after shift beer because Chad's place is off the
hook. Yeah,
come to the hop.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of. I want that gimlet you're talking. I want a spicy gimlet with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think jalapeno in here would just bring out even more. Right. You have that spice with the herbs and botanicals you have in there, like just the flavor.
Right.
It's flowery. I like that.
And the crazy thing about these gin distillations is that, you know, you're extracting the essential oil from all of these botanicals and they all come off of the still at separate times when you turn the still on and you start, you know, the spirit starts coming over through the main condenser into the spirit receiver, you're going to get a lot of citrus up front. You don't taste or smell all of the botanicals all at once. So it's like the citrus will come off and the juniper will pop through. And then you get some of the earthier stuff from like the Angelica root and the Orris root. So we don't really know what the accumulative flavor profile is going to be until we're completely done the distillation.
Oh, damn, no wonder you were pacing.
Oh, I was panicked. I'm like, dude, it's coming off super
citrusy, man.
Like, it's
a crapshoot. It really is.
And the accumulative spirit was good. And then there's also louching. That's another problem we had, and that's when you proof a spirit down so much with the high oil content in a gin, it turns milky. It becomes cloudy. And that's something that you have to look out for because when you go ahead and you proof down your spirit, I mean, we were at about 177 proof all in on this gin when it all came out. And then we were proofing it down to 85. And I was also having a panic attack doing water additions to proof it down to 85. I'm like, it's going to loosh, man. It's going to be cloudy. And it didn't. It was great. We figured it out. It was scary, though.
So first batch out, boys. What do you think?
I'm satisfied, but I'm never fully satisfied.
Right, but you're okay with releasing this to the public? Be like, yeah, I can own up to this gin.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pretty proud of that thing. And like you said, I mean, that was our second batch that we just finished this week. And, I mean, we kind of just crushed it. And it's almost laughable because we're standing there and we're like, did we do it again? You know, like, is this right? Like, what went wrong? You know, and it's like,
well, you reevaluate, trying to fix what you can, whatever.
Yeah.
I think to go back to your question, Dylan, is why did it come out so well? Is you said that a comment to me up to Chad and I upstairs is you would take a passionate person over a well educated, you know, gone to school for 15,000 years to make this, like,
any day.
And you two, Chad, I'm speaking for us, but these two are very passionate. You guys are passionate. Like, it's palpable.
You have to be, man.
You guys are like, you guys are both watching us, like, take sips. Like, that's us. Like, you like it.
You have to be. I mean, there's a lot of times in that distillery, in the still house, where you're like, man, this is, like, the worst job. And I say it all the time to Jason. I'm like, man, I hate my job right now. We were trying to empty the pot 2 days ago from the gin run. And we have to separate all these solids out from the liquids because we just can't send this down the drain. You just can't send all this juniper berry down the drain. And we have an awful way of doing it. We take this little conical food strainer.
We don't have a way of doing it.
We don't have a way of doing it.
We figure it out.
And the juniper berries and the carbon pods clogged up the waste pump under the still. I boosted some water in the pot, and I put the hose straight through the drain to kind of clean it out, and I turned the pump on. And all those juniper berries, all of the botanicals blew all over the still house. And Jason had, it was like a speedboat.
I was laughing my ass off, man. It was like those boats that drag race. And it was just like, like waves.
Just like all over the wall. I've ever had.
I hate my job.
Yeah,
it's like, this is going to suck in 2 minutes. So I'm going to laugh really hard right now.
Yeah.
Good times though, right? Good memories, right?
Yeah.
Not as dud, yeah. Well, we both walked in yesterday too after we cleaned it up and we were just miserable when we left. You know, came in the next morning, we're both like, oh wow, it's like really clean in here.
Yeah, we hung the squeegees up and went home. Didn't even think about it. Then we came back the next day. I'm like, oh, we did a good job cleaning this place up. Yeah. You would never know. We made a huge mess.
Well done, gentlemen. I love this gin. I think the gin is my favorite one so far.
And great, man. Thank you.
I think my wife would love the gin. And it's hard for her to like, she's picky on gins because she's like, she knows what she likes. I would sell this one to her. I think she would love this one.
Great, man.
I'm excited to give her
feedback on that one. So let's go back to Eight Settlers. Why the name? What's Eight Settlers mean? What's
The Eight Settlers came from the eight settlers who settled that area of Utah. It was called Butlerville. They're the guys who pioneered that area, and we wanted to reflect all of their hard work on what we're trying to do in this distillery, settling the land, doing what they had to do. All of our products, whether it's the Ragtown American Whiskey, the Devil's Gate, the Butler Vodka, obviously from Butlerville, and the Green Ditch. The Green Ditch kind of refers to the irrigation pits that the farmers had at the time. They dug ditches and they filled them up with water to save water, and they turned green. And I thought it was a cool name for gin, and Radu and Kacha agreed. There's a little bit backstory on the back of the bottle for everyone to read.
That's really cool. And they both sign, they have their signatures on there, the owners?
Yes, yep.
When are you guys going to sign the bottles? That's what I want to
see. maybe one day.
Next label.
Yeah, next label. We'll see. I think it's pretty cool that we could capitalize on the local history. Yeah, you also awesome. Have to think, though, that like people who are purchasing this, and like say you're from New York or you're from New England or you're from not even this country, you have to make it clear that you can't just do like local history and rely on that. You have to make it something that everyone is going to know about. So everyone has a question, like, what are the eight settlers? People that live in that area know what the eight settlers are. No one in New York knows what the eight settlers are. No one in Boston knows what the eight settlers are. So we try and relay that on the back of the bottle as transparent as possible. But I think it's going to capitalize on the local area.
That's really cool, guys. Yeah. I mean, this is, and the logo is really simple and badass. It's like
super simple. Yeah,
it's like Al Capone, like, you know, gangster on the, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah,
I like it. I really like it. So then, I hear you guys have a restaurant with a distillery, right?
Is that what you do? Yeah, we have two bars: an upstairs bar, a downstairs bar. We have a full kitchen. We do brunch on Sundays.
Oh,
nice.
Chad, what are you doing tomorrow?
Oh yeah, let's go.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Lund's our executive chef. He does a really, really good job. He got this whole brunch program on board. Jason's excited for his pancakes. Jason's a big pancake guy.
Yeah. Brunch is awesome, then, I'm assuming.
I mean, brunch is good.
Because High West brunch, I think, is one of my favorite brunches. Because like you have the whole view. I hear you guys have the view of the valley too.
We have the whole view of the valley.
Because you guys are right there.
We're right at the crux. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh yeah, that's quite the location that you guys have
there. That's prime.
Yeah,
they got lucky, man.
They've had that location for a while, right? Before they even started building it.
They purchased that land.
So they've been sitting on it, just waiting.
It's like an old tennis club or something.
It was some country club or something, an old bar there of some sort. I hear everyone got busted by the cops driving out of that place.
Oh yeah, the canyon. It's now the ski shop.
Yeah, everyone got busted. So, Uber's a thing now though, so it's not a big deal.
Oh hell yeah, we need that.
Uber and Lyft.
So the eight settlers located in Cottonwood Heights.
That's right,
Mouth of Bay Cottonwood Canyon,
right behind the 7-Eleven.
Rumor is, you guys will be part of the Utah Spirit Trail.
We are already part of the Utah Spirit Trail.
Yes! Right?
We will be in the 2021 booklet, or 2022 booklet, I should say.
Shout out to the support the trail. That's all I got to say. So
Thank you, Charles.
Is your cool stamp this logo? Do you guys have a stamp that you're going to stamp the booklets with?
It's going to be the cool gangster guy, with the eight settlers on it. I'd like to keep it like that.
Who is the cool gangster guy? Is there a story behind that, or just kind of your owners?
I like to pretend
it's Radu, too.
Hell yeah. I got to meet the owners.
Yeah,
you should. Definitely.
You'll have a great time with this guy.
He's Romanian, you said?
He's Romanian. He's from Grupa Transylvania. Kacha is from Rio de Janeiro. She's also part Lebanese. I'm also part Lebanese, so we kind of bonded on that in the start. They're both pretty rad people, though. They truly care about us, and they want this business to succeed more than anyone else I've ever met.
Same.
Obviously, they're the owners. Same. So.
And the food, how's the food there?
Food's delicious.
Yeah?
Yeah, it really is.
Full menu?
Full menu. Full, yep.
Brunch, and then you have merchandise.
We do. We have a little gift shop. We have a package agency. We sell all of our booze on Sundays. So if the DABC is closed on Sundays, you can get vodka, gin, American whiskey, and bourbon on Sundays.
That is good to know.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's super nice having a package agency. We have, you know, merchandise, sweatshirts, t-shirts, stickers, all the fun stuff.
Stickers?
I'll get
down,
to
dude. Yeah. Down. And then what about flasks? You guys have flasks?
We have flasks, yep.
You guys have it all.
We have tasting glasses, the whole thing. Yeah. We also did a bourbon barrel-aged coffee that we sell out of there as well. Ooh. Oh, speaking of brunch, and Andrew Lund, our chef, his father knows a guy in Vermont who runs a big maple syrup facility. So we're having maple syrup sent out to us, fancy-grade maple syrup. We're going to barrel age that for hopefully a year. We're going to pull it out. We're going to bottle it, and that will be our maple syrup. And then I would like to put bourbon back into that barrel for probably another year. So 2 years out, you'll have some maple barrel age.
So what are you guys doing in 2 years, guys? Can we do this again in 2 years right here?
Yeah.
Down. Yeah. All right, Jason, question for you.
Yep.
If you had to find a needle in a haystack, how would you find it?
Oh, man. What kind of question is this?
It's a great question. I want to see your thought process.
Maybe let's put this haystack through some sort of mill and then let it filter out all the hay. And then when that needle breaks the mill, then we'll know.
Expensive fix right there. Love it. All right. Gentlemen, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to figure out. I need a bathroom break, Chad. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Let's go. Yeah, right? But we'll be right back, Chad. Sound good?
Cool.
Tastemasters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code Tastemasters, you will receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But, guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code Tastemasters upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. Hey, guys. It's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically, what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help. All right, guys, and we're back. Jason.
Yes.
Another question for you.
Oh, boy.
Right off the bat.
Is this another trickster?
Maybe. What's something... What's the longest thing you've ever aged? Longest whiskey? Longest... Something the longest has ever aged.
I'm trying to remember. I guess the... Yeah, the High West stuff was getting up there. And that's probably 3 years. I mean, that I've made to age... I mean, I'm sure there's stuff in Michigan sitting there that I made that's aging. I don't really know.
Oh, nice.
We had a pretty kick-ass 2-year-old apple brandy up there.
Oh,
that's probably my favorite age product that we made.
Are you guys like just love aging stuff? Is that one of your favorite things to do?
Yeah, but I'm very impatient about it.
Yeah. Right. And we don't have the money. So gotcha. You're just sitting on the money anytime anything's aging. I mean, you guys stuff in barrels right there. It's just sitting there eating money.
Oh, so, yeah. It'll sit there
for
a while.
The money, it's awesome to age things, but yeah. Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that's so true with aged whiskey. A lot of times you'll see some aged whiskeys that are 10-plus years, and they're even 50 years, and they're like $300, $400, $500 into the thousands, and it doesn't necessarily mean that whiskey tastes like a $5,000 whiskey. It was the evaporation that takes place. You're probably going to lose 3 to 5% per year, depending on the humidity of where you're aging your whiskey. But you're going to lose a lot of whiskey, plus the real estate that barrel is taking up. I mean, I've emptied out some 30-year-old whiskey barrels, and there's maybe 2 gallons in there.
Holy shit.
So that's why that, and it's probably not. I've had some 2-year-old whiskeys that are better than some 20-year-old whiskeys, I swear to God, and I tell everybody this. It's just the what you get back from it. So it could be 2 gallons out of that barrel. And if you have 50 barrels between 53-gallon and 60-gallon barrels, and you get 50 gallons back, that's one barrel out of those 50 barrels that you're able to blend and bottle.
I mean, it's not worth
and,
it.
And you're going to lose some during the processing, during the filtering process, the bottling process. So that's why that whiskey's so expensive. And the rarity of it.
Damn,
how rare
it
is
that
a
50?
I mean, that's why those whiskeys are so expensive. They're not as available.
Gotcha.
I mean, personally, I think 6 years is probably the max I would let anything age, just because of that. Like, you don't know what it's going to happen. Like, why bother waiting any longer than that, you know? Yeah. But 4 years tends to be, I think, is probably my favorite. Like, most things that are 4-year-old are pretty damn good, I think.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So,
especially a new cooperage. I mean, if you're using used cooperage, that's why a lot of the Scots have really, really old whiskey. They're using used cooperage from the United States, whether it's a bourbon barrel or they even use a lot of sherry barrels. You're not extracting as much from the wood as you would from a new barrel, so therefore it, it could last longer in a barrel than a new distillate in a new barrel.
Gotcha. Huh. Interesting, fascinating. Yeah, I'm blown away right now. Jeez. Well, gentlemen, you have two whiskeys in front of us. I'm really...
Speaking of whiskey.
Speaking of whiskey. Yeah,
speaking of whiskey. That was a good little segue. Transition.
I got you. Yeah, I'm pretty good, that. Jason. You'll learn that. Yeah, it's not just random questions. Let's see, Devil's Gate. So, Devil's Gate, boom. Okay, so you have, that's probably my favorite bottle. It's got this red label, Devil's Gate Bourbon Whiskey.
Yeah.
It's 90 proof?
Yep. Yeah, both of our whiskeys are.
And handwritten by Jason himself. It's like you signed it, dude.
That's
yeah,
right.
That is my signature pretty much. Yes. It's just numbers.
Numbers, yes. Yeah. It's like a doctor kind of. Whatever. I love it. So, gentlemen, tell us about this one.
Devil's Gate is definitely a entry-level bourbon, and I really, really wanted to do this on purpose because we get a lot of people that come in the distillery, and they're like, you know, I drink vodka. I don't drink whiskey. What would I like? And this is definitely a whiskey that's good for beginner, not only bourbon drinkers, but whiskey drinkers in general. It's pretty mellow and rounded. It's a one-dimensional whiskey. And I know that sounds bad, but... It's a good thing in a lot of ways because you can really just get into it that way and not have to worry about, you know, this crazy flavor profile going on in your mouth. It's pretty mellow, and then we'll get into Ragtown after. But Ragtown's the offset of that.
This has like a vanilla sweetness to it. Am I making that up?
No, I mean it's like I said, it's like it's one dimensional, but not in a bad way. It's very forward with what it's got. It doesn't develop in your mouth like most. You know, whiskeys will. It's definitely the, you know, beginner whiskey drinker's whiskey, and I wanted something for everyone to like. You know, you don't want to throw this crazy whiskey in front of someone who doesn't drink whiskey. They're probably not going to like it. They won't understand it or appreciate it. So why not produce a whiskey that is good for everybody, whiskey drinkers alike and new guys?
And why Devil's Gate? What's the significance between Devil's Gate?
So Devil's Gate was... it's just like the, man, I don't know how to explain it. The Radu and Kacha could explain it so much better than me. Devil's Gate was like a pit or a hole in that area in Big Cottonwood. And the old school guys back then were very afraid of it. A lot of folklore around Devil's Gate. It was kind of like this big hole in the ground, and it was like the entranceway, the entranceway to hell.
Oh.
And it became folklore that Devil's Gate, don't go near Devil's Gate. So we named Devil's Gate. Devil's Gate.
You're keeping it local. This is really cool.
Hey, yeah, that's what I mean with all our products. I mean, it is kind of a local thing, but I like to, you know, explore that whole area.
Okay.
Some local historian is losing his mind.
Some
right
local,
now.
Yeah. I'm very, very your sorry. Losing his mind. I'm very, very sorry.
God damn.
So you have no idea so, what you're talking about.
Question for you boys.
Yeah.
What's a liquor you guys haven't made yet that you want to make at Eight Settlers?
I got two.
Brandy for me again.
Brandy, and Akavit. I love Akavit.
Yeah, why is this?
I think it's delicious, and a lot of Americans don't have access to it. You can find Line, I'm pretty sure, in the liquor store in the DABC, but that's about it for Utah. I know that the Pacific Northwest has a big Norwegian culture, and you can find a lot of Akavit distilleries. It's basically Norwegian gin. It's dill forward. It's a flavored spirit. A lot of people consider it a schnapps. It's an herbal schnapps, kind of. But it is absolutely delicious. It's like a Christmas celebration drink for Norwegians. And I think it's absolutely delicious. You can do a lot with it. But that, again, is another barrel-aged product that we're going to have to work on, and I will go full send with that one, too. We will put all of the botanicals in the pot, distill it, barrel-age it, and keep our fingers crossed.
I love this.
To God, it's good.
So far. Nice. It's so far so good, guys.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's got some anise flavor to it. It's got a lot of dill flavor to it. Interesting.
Yeah,
it's like gin without the juniper in a sense. It's very delicious. So if anyone hasn't had Akavit before, please
have
go.
Not. Have
yeah,
you
I have not.
Go
have
go not. Try it. It is so good.
Now we just make us some.
Yeah,
That's the one who's related. It's ready.
We are working on a malted barley right now. We've distilled one batch of malted barley, and we're going to work on it in the next 2 weeks. Right.
Another batch in 2 weeks.
Jason makes the schedule. Yep. He's a production manager.
Yep. Oh,
yeah, Jason, big boy over here.
Well, that's what's so funny. We've been so focused on gin that I smelled this whiskey. I was like, damn, this kid. Like, I haven't smelled our whiskey in so long. We've been doing gin for so much.
But yeah, I mean, it's very one-dimensional in a good way.
And it's easy.
I know
this
that
is
sounds weird.
Great, though. A lot of distilleries open and
they go crazy
with
their bourbon.
And it's they'll do like a white or just silver bourbon, I guess. And like... Or just like really young bourbons, and they taste young, and they're hard to drink. Like, but this is like, I see it's aged 3 years. Did you guys score some already aged stuff you're able to blend in? Or
we sourced this whiskey, yeah, and that's kind of the art of blending. Like we spoke about earlier, obviously we just opened up, and a lot of guys do clear spirits. me coming from a blending background, I really, really wanted to have a couple products that we could play around with in blends, and a lot of people do it. It is a big part of the whiskey community in Scotland and in the United States. Something everybody does, whether they're transparent about it or not. We are extremely transparent about it. We want you to know pretty much everything. And that goes for most craft guys. If you go into their distillery, they're going to want to geek out with you and talk to you about it and be as transparent as possible. The two things that we won't tell you is our blend ratios and our yeast strains that we use. And that's just how we are. We will tell you everything else, though. Any questions you guys have, we're always open to answering.
That's awesome.
You.
Nice. I feel that's the same with the brewer's life, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to tell me some of the things you're doing, which is, that's just how it goes. But we're completely transparent about it. You can source whiskey that's absolutely terrible. You can source two amazing whiskeys, blend it, and it's absolutely terrible. I mean, it's just going off of that end goal, that end flavor profile that you're looking for. And that's based off of proof, alcohol, masks, flavors. So proof isn't just there. Because we wanted it to be 90 proof, I thought that this whiskey tasted best at 90. It was didn't come through enough at 80, and it was too potent at 100. So let's meet in the middle and make it 90. Yeah. And it ended up working out.
You guys are pleased with this product?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. It's our best-selling product. The nice. Devil's Gate Bourbon is definitely...
It's the sexiest looking label, I think. I love that red. The Devil's Red.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, nice color. These blends are... They're tough to start out with. Once you get your blend down, it's very easy to do. It's very repeatable. If you have that same whiskey, like I said, once you run out of that whiskey, this 2-component, 3-component blend could turn into a 20-component blend. And by component, I mean 20 different types of whiskeys.
Yeah.
To have that flavor profile. Jeez. I mean, it gets very, very difficult to keep up blend maintenance. We do pride ourselves on blending whiskey. For anyone out there who blends whiskey themselves, you know exactly what I mean. You can change a whiskey immediately by adding 1% of another type of whiskey.
Gotcha. Damn, this is fascinating. I'm learning a lot today, Chad. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, another question for you guys. What are your guys' goal when you guys make these spirits? What's, as a consumer, what sells? What do you guys want 8-cellars? Like, what do you want 8-cellars to be known for? When it comes to like...
That's tough, because
I know. But when it's what stands out? When I say 8-cellars, what should I... I'm down the street, I'm like, hey, I see a new place called 8-cellars, and there's immediately, because everyone knows like High West, Double Rye, Rendezvous Rye.
Yeah, High West is known as a whiskey producer. I really want to be known as a gin producer in a sense. We are making whiskey. I want to be known as a malt whiskey producer, an American malt whiskey producer. I really don't have too many plans on producing bourbon on our own. We might distill enough to fill up a few barrels and do a small release of it, do a single barrel cast strength release. But I really want to focus on making some funky gins. And I really want to focus on doing some really, really cool barrel finishes with our whiskey. And then furthermore, once it's ready, I want to be up there in the game with American single malt. It's such a new product. You see like Westland do it. You see a lot of guys out there producing American single malts, but we're at the ground zero of malt in the United States. I think we should just go for it and run for it. Jason and I produced so much malt before. Thousands of gallons of malt Jason and I have produced at High West. We know how to make malt whiskey. We know how to mature it. And we know how to, blend it. I mean, why not just do that? I mean, it's such a new product in the United States. People have been doing it for years, but I don't think anyone's perfected it yet. I'm not saying we're going to perfect it, but we're going to do the best we can to produce the best malt whiskey we can do with the materials we have.
Guys.
At hand.
Do it.
It's so delicious. My two favorite whiskeys are rye whiskey and malt whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
The rye revival happened. Everyone's making rye right now. I don't want to jump into an inflated market of bourbon and rye. I want to jump into a brandy market and start ground zero by creating funky gins, really good malted. I mean, simple malt, like nothing crazy. No crazy chocolate malts or caramel malts. I want to do like a really good base malt and barrel age it. And believe it or not, malts, kind of like grapes and wine, they change season to season. So if we produce we have all this malt produced in, or not produced, but grown and malted in 2019, from that same farm, you could have a different flavor profile on your malt in 2020. So there will be some flavor shift, but I want that flavor shift.
Gotcha.
I want it to taste a little bit different.
Nice.
To give someone,
it's going
to
give you guys like a unique the unique taste, unique vibe.
Yeah, exactly. I want a little bit of flavor shift. Not on purpose. I just want it to happen naturally. I'm not going to change flavors on purpose.
That's really cool.
I'm going to do my same process identical, just with different years of malt.
That's really cool.
That's what I'm looking for. I mean, they're going to be aged in the same environment. Like I said, I'm not going to force different flavor profiles on it.
That's good. I respect that.
Yeah, it'd be fun to taste like different batches, like back to back.
Different
like,
maltsters and stuff. I mean, it's, you can get some fun stuff out there. And
I mean, like people do that with wine all the time. You know? Have the same wine and collect, you know, a couple different years of it, and you can taste the difference, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's my goal with malt.
I'm excited for this. I do it. Like I think your guys is like, model is like, let's just fucking do it.
Yeah, and it does suck. It does suck because it takes years, man. I mean, a lot of distillers don't taste their own product because they work there for 5 years and then they leave, and then 20 years later their shit gets bottled. I mean, this happened to Jason because he produced a lot of base malt and tri malt for High West. They barrel aged it and they released it in their malt whiskey release, the High Country. And Jason's like, Dylan, let me get a bottle because I distilled most of that because he left before we got a chance to try it. And that's the hard life of a distiller.
Damn,
You don't get quick turnover like a lot of beer. Yeah. Even
time's
wine.
Time's kind of your enemy, if you will.
Yeah, right. It's just the way it is.
Hmm. I guess live forever, guys. You can taste them all. All right, Jason, question for you.
Yep.
What are some goals for you and Eight Settlers in 2021?
I don't really have any specific goals. Like, I mean, for me, it's a lot of, like, joke, like, he's the boss. I call him boss.
I'm not the boss. Like,
it's kind of like his vision. I'm there to keep things running smooth. Like you said, like, up until now, we've run about 90% of, like, just acing everything. And so, I mean, that's what I want to do. I want to make his life as easy as it can. And for me, it's just quality. Like I said, I hate going into new places. You're all excited to try it, and then you try it and you're like, oh man, like this is not good. You know, you see their like little 10-gallon still in the corner, and it's like, it's, you know, I mean, to like shit on anybody, but like I, then we said, like, we, if you came to the restaurant, you would see like there is a level of elegance to the whole environment. And so I think I just want to kind of keep everything going as smooth as I can. I don't have any specific goals, really. Gotcha. Yeah.
What is it in Dylan you see that you're trying to support him? Like, what is it that, as a distiller, you're like, this guy's got it? Because obviously you're a big fan of his.
Yeah, you wanna see him
succeed, but... I give him time off when he wants it.
I mean, yeah, that's part of it. So I like... But I'm like, you know, I rock climb and stuff, and so I like to go, you know, do these things, and... I'm under the philosophy of like, just get your shit done. And then if it's done, you know, do whatever you want. Like this, like you have to be in from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day. You know, there's days where you don't have shit to do, you know, like, especially just, I mean, you guys are brewers the same thing. There's days where you clean tanks for 4 hours and you're like, all right, I'm done, you know? And then there's days where you work 16 hours. And so it's like a couple of these and he kind of knows my philosophy and how like I live, and he's like super flexible, and he knows that like even if I'm in Arizona climbing or something, he calls me like, hey, I need you here, like I'll be here as soon as I, you know, and just like, yeah, I mean, it's just hard work. And you talked on passion earlier, you know, like it's nice to work for it, and that's why the goal for me is just make his life easier and keep things running smoothly. And
I like that.
And we kind of, it was like off the air, I think, but we talked when we made that huge mess. And it was kind of like that. We both are just like, you know, tied our boots up and then just like, just started clean, you know, and like nobody was bitching. And it was just kind
of,
And that's why, like, I joke, like, he's the boss. I'm like, don't worry, boss, I'll clean it up, you know? But it's like, but he was there, you know, getting just as dirty as I am, you know? And so,
and that's the greatest leaders are also the team players. Like, they are the ones that
he wouldn't ask me to do anything that he wouldn't do, you know?
Absolutely not. I was hired on as the head blender, the head distiller at Eight Settlers, but Jason is 50-50 with me in this business.
I trained him, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember.
He does what I do, and I would never force him to do something alone that I haven't done before. If we both haven't done it, we're just going to do it together.
Yeah, that's cool. I wish, that brotherhood's awesome, guys.
I mean, I would never, ever.
I guess my two cents in that, going off of that, is if and when you guys do find a third person, make sure they got that same vibe you guys have.
It's tough, yeah, though, exactly.
It's real, but yeah, it's worth it. It's you gotta so filter. Tough.
That's the hardest part.
I interviewed so many people when you first up. That's why I texted him jokingly, asking if he wanted a job. I was like, I'm interviewing these people from like New York, New Jersey. Like, are these people have to move here? I don't even know who they are, but I know Jason. I know what he does.
Yeah.
He's worked with me before. I've worked with him before. Do you want a job?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay.
That's a cool thing because Jason, he's got just as much respect for you as you do for him. Because yeah, was it this morning or yesterday? I get this text. Dylan's like, yeah, I'm bringing Jason. Yeah, I have to bring him. Like, he's coming. He's coming. He's got to be on the podcast. He has to.
There is,
I'm like,
boss, I appreciate
yeah, there
it.
Is, there like, is no.
And I like, fuck, I don't care. Yeah, absolutely. Please. Let's go.
Yeah, there is no, you know, boss. Per se, he calls me boss because
I got you.
But there we bounce. I mean, even yesterday, I was like, Jason, is this a good idea or is this a bad idea? Like, you need to tell me yes or no. And he does the same thing with me. I mean, you need someone else's opinion to be successful. You can't just do everything by yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need someone to tell you to shut up or to fix it.
Yeah.
You need to accept their opinion.
And that's why I like Grid City so much, is because the boys at Grid City, you know Jeremy real well, the brewmaster.
Yeah,
but
of course,
those Jeremy's three have that same relationship you two have, where those three are like, they'll be able like, hey, shut the fuck up, or let's nut up and do it. We got this. Or like, hey, I tasted this. I don't like, they're really front and they're honest and they trust it. That trust is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you guys have that. And
it's speaking of Jeremy, he was a big reason why I work at Eight Settlers. Now, little did I know that Jeremy and Radu knew each other for a long time before, and Radu came in on a tour at High West and picked me up there. And the first time he came in, I was like, okay, yeah, this guy's, you know, a lot of people are trying to start up distilleries. Should I leave my comfortable job at High West to go start up this distillery? And I didn't call him back. Radu came in on a second tour, gave me his card, and I'll never forget. He goes, Dylan, since you didn't call me, I knew you lost my card. So here's another card. I was like, okay, this guy's kind of serious. He was very serious. His Eastern European accent, it was very scary to me. So I called Jeremy. At Grid City, and I'm like, hey man, is this guy legit, Radu? And he's like, yeah, you should just go do it. And here we are. I went and did it.
You used the word comfortable. You were comfortable at High West, and then you decided to take a leap to become uncomfortable in a way.
I did. Yes. I mean, High West is an established company,
and look where you are, dude. You're creating good shit. And Chad and I are over here like, yeah, hell
yeah. But like, you know, in the start, man.
Sure.
And my buddy, Jason's buddy too, Scott Coburn, he started Mythology Distillery in Denver, and now he's up at the Park Distillery, which is in Banff. He's their master distiller up there now. He worked at High West with us. And I was calling him too during this whole time because he went and did a startup distillery in Denver, which is now successful. I was like, I don't know if I should do this, man. This sounds like a bad idea. Like, it's like we didn't even know COVID was a thing at the time either. Like, we opened this during a recession. But this is beside the fact. But Scott goes, Dylan, you know more than you think you do.
It's awesome.
So just do it. And things will fall into place.
That's super cool.
And it's worked out so far. I mean, we have 5 months we've been open, and we have two good whiskeys, a good gin, and a good vodka.
Two good whiskeys. What's the last one? You have one more whiskey.
the malt.
You are good at this one.
Let's do it. What is it? Ragtown? Ragtown American Whiskey.
Yeah, tell Ragtown American Whiskey. So we call it an American whiskey because it is not a bourbon. It is not a rye. It's a blend of two straight whiskeys, which is a bourbon and a rye. Can't call it either. So it's an American whiskey. It's a blend of two straight American whiskeys. So legally we call it Ragtown American Whiskey. It's got the best of both worlds. It is rye dominant. The rye is 95% rye, 5% malted barley. The bourbon in it is a 36% rye bourbon. So it's got a pretty high rye content in it. So it's going to be a little spicier. So it really does complement the rye. It was kind of my take on rye whiskey. I know a lot of people aren't too in tune with rye whiskeys. They are delicious. They're a little bit, you know, offensive up front sometimes. But the bourbon definitely rounds this 95% rye out. And it is delicious. This is my favorite product that we do have at Eight Settlers. For sure.
This is batch number two.
That's batch number two, yeah. I think we're on batch five now.
We're about to start five. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
American whiskey. Okay, I'm excited for this, boys. Super pumped.
Yeah.
Jason, what's your favorite one at the table? The gin you said, right?
The gin I think I'm most proud of in terms of drinking, it's that Ragtown. That thing is badass, yeah.
You're eyeing this right now. That's why I'm asking this question.
Ragtown?
Why Ragtown? Do we know?
I have no idea the story behind it, honestly.
Like, the Ragtown times of what our distillery is all about, like early 1900s, late 1800s. It was just like,
dude,
the Ragtown. Like, it was just, yeah, it's...
Are there duels that happen at Eight Settlers? I feel like there's, like, duels that happen.
If you want it, yeah, we could do one.
Chat?
Yeah.
Let's do a duel over at the old 870s.
And I remember making this blend. Wow. I went to Radu's house, and he had gotten all the samples in, and we had this delicious rye and this delicious bourbon. He was like, so you blend whiskey, so let's make a whiskey for me. You know, he's very direct. Let's make a good whiskey. So I went home with these two samples, and at my dinner table, I had a 1,000 mil graduated cylinder, and I had some distilled water, and I just kind of played with ratios on what the whiskeys would be good. I came up with 10 different blends.
Damn, dude.
I went back to their house. I didn't tell them what it was. I just had them taste it. It was like almost like a blind tasting with Radu and Katja. And weirdly enough, we all agreed on the blend that Ragtown is today. I knew what my favorite was going into it because I had blended them, and I, you know, obviously presented all of these whiskeys to them at different proofs, different blend ratios, and I had them write on a piece of paper which one they liked the most, turn it over. We all didn't see, and then at the end of the tasting, they lifted their papers up, and I was like, "That's the one I agree on too. Let's run with this blend ratio. Let's do this one."
Nice.
That's really cool. Ragtown came about.
That's fucking cool, dude.
And yeah, it's balanced, man. It does what it wants to do. It's very complex. It's got a lot going on.
Yeah, it does, but it's easy.
It's easy. And that's why I say Devil's Gate is definitely your entry level bourbon, and Ragtown is for the whiskey drinkers. Okay. But I mean, it's good.
Competition. When are you guys putting in for competitions?
So we've been getting in. We contacted Whiskey Advocate. We're trying to go to San Francisco, do the spirits competition. We are 5 months old. We're still trying to produce a lot and be able to take some time to fly out to San Francisco and be at the show. But yes, we will be entering these whiskeys. All of our spirits actually will be entered into all the competitions. I don't want single out any of them.
Yes.
And that's whether full confidence of them getting golds, silvers, or bronze or nothing. I don't care. I want them all to go in.
Hell yeah, guys. I think bring back some medals. Let's go.
That's the goal, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We're rooting for you. Jeez. I love this. Jesus.
That's a damn good whiskey, if I do say. Yeah, like, that thing is
awesome. It truly
awesome.
Is, man.
It's not overpowering. Rye doesn't like turn it off. I don't like rye a whole lot. Yeah. I'm just not a huge rye fan.
I know, yeah.
And so, like, it's actually pleasant. I like it.
It's that bourbon that rounds it
out. There's a lot going on. Like, the Devil's Gate is very drinkable. Like, you can just drink it. This is a lot more going on, and you can really taste it and, like, pick out different notes. And, like, the more you taste it, the more characteristics you're going to pull out of there. Yeah, I love that thing.
And I should have brought you guys the whiskey separate so you could taste them separate to kind of understand the art of blending and how important it is.
Let's go into the podcast, another episode.
Yeah, totally. We could even do a blend class to show.
Let's do it at 8 Settlers.
For sure, yeah.
Let's just beg Corey to come out to 8 Settlers. We'll feed him brunch, and boom. That's simple.
And I encourage everyone to come in and you know, pick Jason and I's brain about what it is all about. I know it's a very misunderstood concept in whiskey and in spirits in general, but it does mean something, and it's fun.
So with that being said, how do we contact 8 Settlers? What do we need to do to help give a boost to 8 Settlers? How can we give more shine to you guys?
Honestly, social media. Come in, take photos, come hang out with us, tell your friends, drink everything we have to offer, eat everything we have to offer. I mean, just spread the word.
Yeah, I mean, hashtag 8 Settlers.
Yeah, hashtag duels. Simply enough, man. Yeah, I mean, it's we're so new. We're trying to get the word out, and we're hoping people love our stuff.
So what can Chad and myself as Taste Masters, what can we do to help you boys get this going even further?
This podcast is number one, that's for sure. Hopefully Chad will carry some of our spirits here at Hopkins.
We'll put these all on.
Yeah. These are awesome. I mean, that's pretty much it, man. Just tell your friends. Yeah. We're really not asking for much. Just come in and hang out with us. I mean, it's
absolutely come hang out with us. Yeah,
yeah. You don't need to go out of your way, man.
It's just like the whole just come in, check it out.
You guys have a great real estate is real over there.
Yeah,
and the capacity is massive. I think they've let up on COVID restrictions by now, but even that, I can't remember the number, but we could sit a lot of fucking people during COVID.
Nice.
That's a pretty big place.
Family friendly.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vegan options, gluten-free options?
Yep.
We have both. The upstairs bar is 21 plus, so for those who would like to have their own personal space without families, you can sit up in the upstairs bar.
Outside?
So we have a retractable roof on the top.
Oh, sick.
And the windows open up, so it's like a pseudo patio, and that section is not 21 plus. That's a family section. The whole downstairs is family section. And then just to the right when you walk upstairs, we have that upstairs bar, and that is 21 plus.
Dude, that sounds badass.
For everyone who would like to just, you know, come in and enjoy a drink.
Absolutely. You're and more than welcome. If those who want to meet the distillers, are you guys giving tours?
So we're getting the tour program going right now. We're putting together a class. We're putting together a test for our tour guides. They have to go in being fully knowledgeable, not only on us, but on spirits in general. Because people in the industry come in, people have crazy questions. I want them to be able to have an answer to it instead of saying, I don't know, or lying about an answer. You know, it that's how it has to be. So we're going to get a tour program going on, hopefully mid-May.
Okay.
We'll be able to accept some tours. But you can always come in and ask the host for Dylan or Jason.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come talk to you. Like, we'll give you a small tour, but the official tour and tasting will happen mid-May.
Hell yeah.
And we're working on that right now. About.
That all comes down to quality too. You know, like, we're making quality spirits, and you know, like, as a whole facility, you know, we expect the kitchen to make quality food, and they do. And they when we bring tour guides in, like, they gotta, it's a quality experience, you know. And if you and things like that, like, a lot of people don't really understand blending and aging some of these things, and you got to be able to talk about that and know what you're talking about. And, you know, we can make the best whiskey on the planet. And then you take a tour,
dude,
you're not going to buy a product. You know, you get some guy who doesn't know what he's talking about.
You guys
about,
have so. Such potential. You guys are barely, you're scratching the surface.
Yeah.
As cliche as that sound, like, no, you are. Yeah. Dude. Chad?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we keep joking about, like, when shit's going to hit the fan. Cause right now we're, like, just slowly building up our batch size, you know, we're like, working hard some days, not too bad. And we're just like, literally, man, like,
yeah, you're gonna be
every bottle is hand labeled in my lap. I put the I put the label on by hand. That cork goes on by hand.
Yep.
We use a heat gun to apply our tamper seals.
Nice. I write on every
Jason
single bottle.
Jason writes on every bottle. I lose track of numbers too often. So
1,200 bottles a week I write on.
Yeah,
he puts
right.
the label on.
Yeah, yep. We have a little hand or a little washer for our bottles, and one bottle gets washed at a time and goes on the filler. I mean, it's you can't get any more.
Again, man, we're making it work.
Yeah, but you guys are making. That's what I'm saying. You guys are leaving with that passion, that brotherhood's there, and you guys are pushing and grinding.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to take time off and appreciate. Like, you guys, like, we appreciate. We're fans of yours. You sold Chad and I. Guys, you guys are awesome. We'll spread the word. I appreciate you guys coming down and spending this afternoon with us and just bonding and sharing your product. You guys are badasses. I'm
thanks,
so glad
man.
We're
thanks
friends now.
Yeah,
Jason,
man,
I'm glad we met today. It was awesome.
Yeah,
thank God
too.
I found another curly head guy I can appreciate with no right. beard. God.
I'll shower next time and it'll lay nice like yours.
He's got the poof, man.
No, but Dylan, I'm glad we broke out the first time we met. I'm glad you were willing to come on here, and I'm glad you brought Jason.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks for Jeremy.
I think you're right.
Grid City.
Jason, if he wasn't here, it wouldn't have been the same.
No.
I agree with you. I think you made the right call.
I made him come.
That's fine. Thanks for coming, Jason.
Thank yeah, yeah, appreciate
but, gentlemen,
you
is there anything
thank
that anything else we can do for you besides?
I don't know. Do you guys
work?
Have any questions about anything else before we end this? I mean,
I don't know. I'm just. When's the tequila coming out? We are doing tequila.
Oh man!
Oh, here we go.
maybe I have nothing against it.
Tequila aged whiskey, whiskey in a tequila barrel is probably
the furthest you'll go.
We could do an agave spirit.
Actually, we can't make tequila.
We have to make
agave,
but yeah.
We can make agave spirit. We can do like a mezcali agave spirit. I would like to do it smoked.
Ooh.
For sure. It's got. I love peated malt. It's got to be smoked.
You do any local? You use Solstice malt? Looking at
Solstice malt for sure.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah!
I love him.
James is badass. All his base malt here.
Yeah, he is the man. He brought us in sample. He came in his flip flops.
Always.
Always.
His fucking overalls and flip-flops. Yeah.
He came in and
covered
he's like,
in dust and flour.
He gave
and
me
shit,
his price list, and he's like, hey, man, like, I'm a local maltster. I'm like one of the only local maltsters around. Would you like to try my stuff? And I'm like, well, do you have samples? And he literally came in the next day with like these samples.
He is a badass.
And his malt is absolutely delicious.
So,
so once we use up what we have for malt, I think we have like, I don't know, 5,000 pounds left of malted barley. Once we use that up, we're going to purchase all of our malted barley from him.
Hell yeah.
100%. And then I'm going to try and do some of his corn as well for our vodka.
Yeah. Try it out.
I want it all to be from him. He is the man.
Mm-hmm. What's looking into doing boozy cupcakes?
Boozy cupcakes. Yeah. I mean, I'm welcome to do it. Let's try it.
Hell
Let's
yeah.
Get it in.
No, that'd be really cool.
Boozy cupcakes.
Really
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
our kitchen does some of that infused stuff. They take some of our whiskey and vodka.
Our filter whiskey. Yeah.
Well, they got like a whiskey and a barbecue sauce and some
Ooh.
Sort of like vodka cheese for something.
The cheese for the burgers, our vodka. And I gave him a bunch of our leftover gin, and I guess he's going to do some sort of aioli with it. I mean, it's a super herbal gin, man. So he's going to play with
stop
those
selling
flavors.
Us. We were sold.
Yeah, I'm going there tomorrow.
We're going tomorrow for brunch.
Come hang out.
We're, bringing the ladies. We're coming.
Yeah,
Corey, what are you doing? We're coming. No, gentlemen, again, thank you so much. I hope we can come back on. We're bringing you back on next time another release happens.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, fuck yeah. yeah. Thanks again for trusting us. Chad, thank you so much for co-hosting and letting me... showcase his voice to you.
Sure, man. I just love having you here.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, is there anything else you got?
I think that's it for me.
Yeah, it's been great, man. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
See you tonight. Okay, until the next Whiskey Bros.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.